scheduled. We were going to do introductions.
Your conference is being recorded.
There we go. Now okay. I'm being recorded. So we were going to do introductions just to start off, and then Sue's going to take over. We're going to talk about shoes and boots for about 5 minutes. We're going to review the what to pack tips for about 5 minutes. We're going to talk about the 10-week training program for about 10 minutes, and then we've got time for question and answer. So you can tell it's a little bit clunky with the conference call format. When someone talks, if someone else talks, sometimes it blanks out the soundbite altogether. So I think if you want to take ask a question, just say your name. This is Mary, or this is Chris, or this is, and then ask the question once we get to the question point, and then everybody will just have to wait till the speaker finishes speaking. So this is me, Deb Niven, and I am partners with
Allison Frame.
Right. Together, we're the Divine Destination Collection.
We are indeed.
We are indeed.
Yes, we are indeed. And we want to introduce Sue Kenny, who is a Camino aficionado and has walked the path many, many times over the last, how many years, Sue?
Since 2001. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I'm thrilled to be walking the Camino with all of you, and I hope to share as much as I can with you, but not too much, just enough so that you can have your own journey as well.
Hello?
Hi. Did we keep, should I keep going? Is that the introduction?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, good. So we're going to start off with talking about shoes and boots. And what I'm, first of all, I want to say to everyone that it's important to understand that these are just recommendations. And always remember that each and every person is individual. You have your own unique, body requirements. Everybody is different. So what I'm recommending is what I've seen over the last 18 years of walking the Camino and guiding 17 groups of pilgrims. But that being said, there's always something new that comes up. So what I found is kind of interesting with shoes and boots. What I found is that we used to always recommend wearing boots. Because you have more support with boots and, they're just better for your feet. But now what's happening is the research that's coming out is more about if we have our feet in boots, then that holds our foot in place. And if the muscles in your feet are not being used, then they have a tendency to atrophy. And so what we want to do is think about the idea of possibly making our feet stronger while we walk the Camino. So what that means is if we don't have all the support that a boot offers, and instead we have a little less support, maybe we're wearing like a running shoe or a hiking shoe or even a hiking sandal, then what happens is we have one quarter of all the muscles in our body are in our feet. So if you want to work out one quarter of your body, you just have to go for a walk in your bare feet. But since we're not going to do that, if you walk in a shoe that has less support, then you're going to get stronger. That being said, consider your own situation. If you have extremely weak ankles or you don't feel comfortable looking at it that way, then maybe you want to wear boots. And that's not a bad thing. There are lots and lots of pilgrims who wear boots on the Camino. So don't feel that that's going to make you different or that it's unusual. The thing about shoes and boots today is that a lot of them aren't made with leather. There are different kinds of fabrics and man-made materials. So it used to be that you had to buy your boots or shoes, months before and, break them in and wear them in and make sure they were comfortable. Whereas today we can, we can buy boots or shoes or sandals and really break them in within, 2 or 3 weeks, depending on how much walking you're doing, but you don't need as much time. So that's good in one way, because if you're looking for shoes or boots and you haven't found them yet, don't worry, you still have time. On the other hand, it is recommended that you find the boots or shoes that you want to wear on the Camino soon and start to wear them so that you're comfortable in them and you have the confidence that these boots or shoes are going to get you, through the Camino. Sometimes it's a little bit, psychological as well. If you decide to look at sandals or trekking sandals, they're called, a couple of the brands that, that always stand out and that people always come back to me and say that they like them are, there's Teva, which was the original hiking sandal, and then Keens makes some really great hiking sandals, and so do Merrell. So those are three brands. If you want to look at something that's been highly rated, not just by me and my pilgrims, but also, online and with experts. But you can look at those. When you go to buy your shoes, make sure that if you're wearing a closed-in shoe, so whether it's a runner or a boot, make sure that you leave yourself enough space in the toe box for your feet to sometimes they swell a little bit, but also for the toe to slide down a little bit. Because when you walk downhill, your foot will slide forward in the shoe. And what happens is the toes will hit the front of the shoe. And just because of all of the wear and tear, sometimes you can get bruising. Sometimes, it'll affect your toenail. And sometimes you can even lose the toenail. We're not going to go there. We're just going to leave ourselves a little bit of space in the toe box and make sure that that doesn't happen. Also, a little trick for if you have the kind of feet that tend to swell up in the afternoon, sometimes in the morning people wake up, their feet are fine after they've been walking for a few hours. Their feet just get swell up a little bit. So what you can do is you can buy two thicknesses of socks. So you can wear thicker socks in the morning and then halfway through the day take your socks off and change them to thinner socks. And then that way you always have a little bit of room inside the toe box and inside your shoe to allow for, any changes that might happen. The only other thing that I would recommend is if your feet have a tendency to perspire a lot, then you can put a little bit of baby powder on your feet and then put your socks on, and that will absorb some of the wetness. People often ask me if they should buy waterproof shoes, and I, again, don't recommend that anymore. I used to, but what's happened now is that the waterproof material that they use has a tendency to make your feet more sweaty inside. And if you, you're going to learn about how to prevent blisters, because that's what we don't want to have any blisters at our group. So what you want to do is keep your feet as dry as possible, and you don't want them to sweat or perspire. So if you're buying shoes, don't worry about them being waterproof. I have a little trick that I'll show you on the Camino if we end up with an extra rainy day. But otherwise, you should be okay. And even when you're wearing sandals, you can wear socks with your sandals, and they can get wet, and your feet will be okay for the most part. Or you can even go barefoot in your sandals with no socks, and that seems to work out really well. So that's a little bit about shoes and boots and what to wear. Go ahead.
What about running shoes?
Absolutely, they're fine. Yeah, running shoes are great, or what they call walking shoes, they're also great.
Okay, good. All right.
I just want to point out, it's me, Deb, that when Allison and I did it for our site inspection, I found it helpful to change. Each day I changed my shoes. Like, I just went back and forth between two pair. It just helped me. So just throwing that out there.
Okay.
That's an excellent point. And yeah, I would strongly recommend, you can practice while you're practicing your training. Figure out if you are the kind of person that likes to change their shoes halfway through the day. You'll get to know what you're like when you do your long walks. Absolutely. If you don't mind carrying an extra pair of shoes with you in your day pack, that's an excellent option. And of course, there's the van as well. So it's not like you have to carry everything. You could, it can also be carried for you. Right?
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So you can wear one pair in the morning, and then at lunch we'll have your bag with the van there, and you can switch out then if that works for you.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a bonus for everybody. But the thing is, the most important thing is to just make sure that your feet are dry. If you're if you find that your feet are perspiring a lot, then stop, take your shoes off and your socks off, air your feet out a little bit, and then just put them back on again. And, you know, keep them as dry as possible, and that will really help with avoiding any blisters at all.
Can I just check again one more question? You had, Anna, by the way, have you had ones that just couldn't complete the walk at all?
That's really an interesting question. I have had situations where people have had to take a taxi part of the way. I've had every single pilgrim I've ever taken on the Camino has walked into Santiago. Sometimes, you know, it's been a tough walk in, but I've had everybody make their way into Santiago. I think what's really important is, one, to try not to worry about that and to think about, prepare as best as you can, and then, trust that the Camino is going to send you on a journey, an incredible journey. And yes, it's, you know, it is about getting to Santiago, you know, at some level, but really it's mostly about the experience and the journey and the meeting the villagers and the people and sharing stories and experiences and food and wine and giggles and, you know, all of that.
Okay.
So it's, if you can, let go of the worry and prepare the best way you can, and then let go and trust that everything will be perfect as it is.
Thank you.
Good question, though.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. What to pack, Sue?
So what to pack? Let's talk about what to pack. What's important to understand is that whatever you decide to take with you, you will have to carry for at least half of a day until, you know, we meet up at lunch, and you can, you know, either leave things in the van or pick up something. So often in our society, we have a tendency to want to bring everything that we could possibly need. And we're just conditioned that way. Even I am. Like, trust me, I've walked the Camino so many times and then I still overpack and I think, what am I doing? So the idea is to practice, practice being more of a minimalist, practice being a simple pilgrim. And the way to practice that is to, let go. And really it's a process of letting go. Okay. Can you really let go of everything that you think you could possibly need on the Camino? And instead just take what you absolutely must have. And then, again, as I said earlier, it's a process of trusting that whatever you need will show up. There might be a store. There might be another pilgrim that has what you need. There might be somebody in the group. And then it becomes a beautiful experience about sharing and helping somebody else and receiving help. And that's way better than having everything yourself, if that makes sense to people.
Sorry, Sue, it's me, Allison. That being said, remember, folks, that we are going to have a van that is going to send all your luggage ahead to each of the hotels that we're staying at. So
yes.
I agree with Sue. Be, you know, think of of yourself as a minimalist. But a few of our evening functions will be a little zhuzhy, for lack of a better word. And what you're going to carry with you on the Camino is just what you need during the day. So you don't have to worry about carrying 25 kilos with you. It's just your day pack.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I get a clarification on that, Allison.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. I thought everybody knew that already.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So basically you're saying is if you've got a little backpack and you've got your water and whatever little things that you need, bandages or whatever.
Yeah. It's actually a day pack, so it's a little day pack that exactly it holds maybe your poncho, your water, maybe, you know, whatever you need along the way, maybe a change of socks. You know, you may want to have your shoes, your extra pair of shoes with you. You may not, but it'll just have very basic things, a first aid kit. And that's what I'm talking about. When you take that day pack, I've honestly seen people, you know, pilgrims with day packs that are overpacked and things hanging off them. So, you know, just trying to keep it trimmed. But, yeah, for the packing for the Camino, oh, yeah, we do want to have something nice to wear for the Shishi events and all of that. But still keep in mind that, you know, it's the Camino. It's, you know, you don't have to bring, it's your choice, but you don't have to bring five different outfits. You know, we can, you know, you can bring one and wear that, or you can bring two, whatever your preference is. The thing with the clothes that you're wearing on the Camino, so what you're actually going to pack to bring with you and then wear, what you want to do is think about each day you're going to be outdoors. So you're walking in nature. We have no idea what Mother Nature is going to give us for that day. We can check the weather reports, but it's not necessarily going to happen that way. So the best way to approach it is to dress as best as you can so that you can adapt and adjust to the changing weather. Usually in the morning, in the beginning of May, it's cooler. So you might want to wear layers. So maybe a top that's either a vest or a short sleeve with a long sleeve top over that. And then you might wear your jacket, whatever kind of jacket you bring, your Gore-Tex jacket or, you know, whatever, wind jacket or rain jacket. You might want to wear that over. If it's extra cold, you might want another layer. The thing is that once you wear all these layers, then as the day goes on, usually it gets warmer, and you will progressively have to take the layers off and then put them in your backpack and carry them. So just keeping that in mind, when you're packing, when you're buying, think about layering is really important. The best material on the market right now is merino wool. It's light, it's lightweight, it's easy to wash, easy to dry. It also it often doesn't hold body odor, so which is really nice when you're walking. And if you choose to layer merino wool, then you know, you can have two or three layers, and then when you take it off, it's extremely light to carry. The one product or material that I recommend you do not bring on the Camino is cotton. So cotton, when it gets wet, it doesn't dry. It stays wet, and if it's cool, it will get really cold. And then cold and wet will draw the heat out of your body, so you will get colder. And, you know, we don't know the exact temperature, like I said, and we don't know if it's going to rain. So the best way to avoid being cold is not to pack cotton, or at least cotton that you're going to wear while you're walking the Camino. If you want to wear something cotton at night or to one of the events, that's perfectly fine, but just not while you're walking.
Okay.
Well, Sue, it's Jeff.
Yeah.
Can I just add that with the Divine Destination Collection, we will be providing rain ponchos, so you don't need to bring those.
Yay!
And we found with our ponchos that they kept us really dry. And they were well made and well done, so we were really dry. And it also added a layer of warmth if it got cooler with the rain. We were there in the beginning of May, and you're right, Sue, it did vary from cool to cold to warm to very warm, right? So,
yeah.
But the poncho we felt was one of those swing pieces of equipment that came in really handy and worked, you know, to keep you warmer and to keep you dry.
Yeah, they're great. Ponchos are a great idea for sure. Mm-hmm. And they're easy to pack and easy to bring with you. You know, you'll probably have your poncho in your backpack most days unless it's going to be absolutely sunny out. You won't bring it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a really good point. Thank you.
Hi, it's Jenny. I have a quick question. I guess when I look at the attachment that says it's like a 9 to 14 liter day pack, is that the right size considering we don't need to carry that much? Or
Yeah, that's the actual size for a day pack when you're not carrying all of your equipment. If you were carrying all of your equipment, you would need a 35 or 40 liter backpack.
Okay, perfect. I just thought I'd double check.
Yeah, no, good question.
Okay, training.
Okay. Yeah, so training. Let's talk about training. I love this part, actually. So I'm going to begin with just a quick overview of the philosophy behind the way that this training program has been developed. And so the idea is that we're mostly dealing with mature bodies. And often, you know, what happens is training programs are designed for, you know, younger bodies. And what I've learned over time, both being a master's rower and starting the sport at the age of 40 and rowing for 7 years and becoming a rowing coach, and a long time ago as a gymnastics coach, I've done a lot of sports. I have a very sort of in-depth understanding and experience as well with training. And what I've learned is as the body matures, what it requires is more time for rest and recovery. So we can train our bodies if we want, you know, well into, you know, older ages. And we can get stronger, we can get faster, and we can walk further. But what we need is we just need a little bit more time resting. So one of the approaches is to incorporate that rest into your training so that you begin to understand it as not just for the training, but for the actual walk, and then when we come back home again. So, for example, when you start your walk in the morning, sometimes people like to stretch their muscles before they start walking. But as a mature body, it's better to start walking a little bit and then stretch your muscles. On the Camino, we're going to be doing some yoga before we start walking. So we're going to get very light, gentle stretching before we head out. And that is perfect. But if you're, you know, if you're doing really strong, aggressive stretching, it's not good for us. The next thing to think about is when you start walking is to put a pause into your walk. So a pause is merely stopping anywhere. Like anywhere, you could stop for a coffee or you could stop just on the Camino path and just stop for a minute or 2 minutes or 20 seconds, whatever it is. Just stop and be present and in the moment. So the idea is that when we stop, we regroup, we center, physically we center, we ground, and then from that place, we've given our body a chance to recover, and then we start walking again. This is a method that can work both walking the Camino and in your life because, you know, if we pause in our life, again, it's a great opportunity to regroup and center and be able to make a decision or be more creative from a place of balance. So the way that this walking plan has been set up is it's a guide. It's a recommendation. It's not perfect for everyone, but it works for a lot of people. And if you prepare for the journey to walk the Camino, then, you know, you'll just have a better chance of an experience maybe that avoids any kind of injury, because that's what we want to try to avoid. We want to just have fun and be able to walk. And also, you know, you want to be able to experience each day in nature, in the present moment, you know, having fun and being on the Camino. So if you prepare beforehand, that helps. The thing is, you don't have to walk long, long distances every day to prepare beforehand. So what I've done is I've set up a schedule here where it starts with you just walk for half an hour. And if your day is really busy and you can't get your walk in, you can break that half-hour walk into 2 15-minute walks. It's not so much that the walking has to be done all at the same time. It can be done throughout the day. So the idea is that you're teaching your body by training that every day you're going to walk, and you start off walking shorter distances And then as time goes on, you walk a little bit longer and a little bit longer, and then you add only one long walk each week. And that long walk also gets longer, so that now you have the confidence that you can walk a longer distance. It's absolutely not necessary for you to walk the longest distance you're going to walk on the Camino before you go. And I'll tell you why. What happens when we get on the Camino is, first of all, we have all the excitement and the energy of starting out. You know, on the first day, I often have pilgrims who are practically running, you know, on their first day because they're so excited and we have so much energy. And that's a good thing, and that energy will carry us along. And then as the days go on, what happens is you have the energy of the people in our group, and we're all going to, you know, set off. We'll be talking the night before about our experiences, and the next morning we're going to be really excited about heading out. And so you'll have all of that energy to tap into, and that will help you to walk. The other thing that happens is the Camino path itself. If you imagine that pilgrims have been walking this path for, almost 1,000 years, and they walked with the intention of being closer to God. Not everybody on this group is going to be walking with that same intention, but most of us have an intention, you know, a reason for walking. But what we're doing is we're stepping into what I call a portal. And that portal is the energy of all the pilgrims before us and even the pilgrims, you know, that come after us. And so when you step into that energy and, you know, the magic of the Camino, which you will understand more once you've walked it. I'm just giving you a sense of it. But once you've been there, you'll feel it. You'll feel the energy. And that is going to help you to move forward. So I'm telling you all of this because as much as it's important to train for the...
Hello?
For it not to worry too much about it. So, okay. How's that? Does that make sense?
That's great.
Is it?
Yeah. Thank you, Sue. This is the question and answer period. So please just say your name and then what your question is.
Okay, it's Jenny. You were talking about energy, and just what I thought that came to me is there's a number of like herbal remedies like ashwagandha or something like that that are sort of like energy boosters, but like natural energy boosters for the body. Do you recommend any sort of supplements or preventatives or whatnot to be taking if it's part of your sort of routine?
Actually, I don't. What happens when I get on the Camino is I go completely natural, because it is such a natural place. Now, when I say that, I often bring, I'm trying to think of the name of it right now and I can't think of it, but Angelica.
Arnica? Is it Arnica?
Yeah, and Arnica is good. Yeah, Arnica is really good for sore muscles. But mm-hmm. Angelica Wood, it's just something that I use personally almost every single day. And I like frankincense. So I'll bring those along with me. If you have something that you like to use, if you have an essential oil, or if you, have something like that you like to use, I would strongly recommend it. You don't need to bring like gel packs or nutritional bars. You don't necessarily need that unless that's something that absolutely works for you and you know that. But because we're walking all day, there are lots of times, you know, the collection, the gals have arranged it so you'll have lots of nutritious food and. You're not going to be hungry, so don't worry.
Yeah, you won't go hungry on our trip.
No. So just be aware that it's a very natural place, and so be as natural as you possibly can be.
Great. Thank you. Anybody else who has
Thank
a question?
You. It's Christine here. When are we going to get the list of zhuzhing it up at night?
I will send that out probably 2 or 3 weeks before the trip. It'll have a detailed itinerary with times and exactly where we're going and dress codes And those of you who have traveled with us before, Chris, you remember when we were in Africa,
yep.
It was the same sort of detailed itinerary you'll be getting.
Gotcha. Okay.
Oh, fun. Okay. And the Zhizhe clothes will go in the suitcase. Yeah. What was that?
Yes. This is Kathy, and I just have a question. I've done a lot of walks throughout the last 15 years of my life, and one of the things they always tell you is to hydrate. Bring your water bottle, keep it filled, drink it, and hydrate. I'm assuming you kind of feel the same way, and I know this sounds like a funny question, but when I do most of my walks, I know where to stop when I have to go to the bathroom. Are there places along the way where you can go to the bathroom?
That's an excellent question, Kathy. I'm glad you asked it. Yes, there are stops all along the way. There are restaurants, tabernas, cafes, you know, and bear in mind, though, that there are, you know, people walking the Camino using the services of these places. And I personally, whenever I go and I want to use the bathroom, then I will buy something from them and then use the bathroom. But they are available, readily available. You know, I guess there are some situations where, you know, people can't wait and they're, you know, you can see that people have, you know, had to use the side of the road or the bush. But hopefully we won't have to. No, we're not going to have to. There'll be enough. What about hydrating? I will say that I believe very, very strongly that the best hydration takes place the night before. So after you've finished walking the Camino, you know, we're going to be going out for dinner. We're going to have fantastic wine. Wine is hydration. It's like it's a fluid. But a lot
I love
people,
you.
I love you. Yeah. It is hydration.
So I plan on hydrating every night then.
Me too. We all will.
I did.
And the thing is, a lot of people, you know, we don't like to hydrate at night because then we'll have to get up in the night and go to the bathroom. So that is sometimes a bit of an issue. But again, in the morning, if you can hydrate even before you set out, that's always good as well. I personally don't believe we have to drink 8 glasses of water a day because every single person is a different size, is a different, you know, their body works differently. So I think it's important that you recognize how your body works and what you need. And if you're thirsty, then you should drink more. And if you're not and you're okay with it, then, you know, keep walking and see what happens. Remember, you're going to be in nature all day, so you're taking in hydration all the time. It's in the air. So you're going to get some hydration that way, and you're also going to get energy from the trees and from the, you know, forest bathing and a whole bunch of other things. You're going to be in the best, honestly, you'll feel fantastic after being outdoors for that long. Good question.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
One more question. Is there any place to do laundry along the way? Or is it just hand laundry? Yes?
Yep. Yeah, you'll be able to do laundry along the way. Every place? Yeah.
I don't think every place, but a lot of them have washers. I remember seeing the washers and dryers. We can double check into that and let you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Thank you.
But it was very common for there to be washers and dryers in the the properties. Because
It's Allison. And a number of the nice hotels that we're staying at will also have laundry service.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. A lot of them have laundry service. So you just drop it off in the evening and you'll get it later on or the next morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good question. Anything else?
Okay. Oh, that was easy.
I think we've done well with our timing. We're only 4 minutes over. So, of course, Allison and I are available, you know, online or by phone if there's any other questions you might have. And we're going to do a second call, right, with you, Sue?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Monday, April the 8th.
Yeah.
And I'll be sending out details about that as well.
Yeah, and you know, if anybody has any questions about the training program or as you're going along, I mean, I'm available. I don't know how you want to handle that, Deb and Allison, but, you know, I'd be available to answer questions if people are, you know, just struggling with something or not sure if they're doing the right thing. I'm more than happy to respond in any way I can.
That's great, Sue. So that being said, if anybody has challenges or questions for Sue, you can send them on to me because everybody has my email, and then I'll forward them on to Sue, and then you can be in touch with her.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to ask a question. It's better that your mind is at ease and you feel that you're doing the right thing than holding on to a question that you think maybe isn't that important or, you know, whatever. Just ask the question. They're common, sometimes common questions, and sometimes they're very unique. So feel free.
Great. Just to end the call, Allison and I, this is Deb, you know, we did walk this same path in May of this year, and we did check out all of our stops. You know, we are planning on a stop in the morning, a stop for lunch, and a stop in the afternoon. So, and we plan them with, you know, nice facilities and, you know, good food and beverage in mind. So rest assured you'll be taken care of, from the yoga training to the news guidance to the guidance along the way. We will have our proverbial arms around you, even if we don't actually.
And also just a reminder of the chase vehicle. I call it the chase vehicle. Anybody who perhaps decides they don't want to do the walk in the morning, they want to sleep in, just let us know. We'll escort you to lunch so you can meet the group. If you're done at lunch or if you're done at the first coffee, that's fine too. We've got the vehicle there that can whisk you back to the hotel that we're staying at. There's no pressure. Nothing is mandatory, and that goes for evening functions as well. If you're exhausted or if you're having, you just need to be with yourself because things have come up, and you don't feel like going to one of the evening functions, please don't feel the need to. Of course, we would love you there, but you need to take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
Hi, guys. Yeah, it's Jenny again.
Yeah.
Hi, Jenny.
I have another question. Sorry, I didn't want to let it go because other people might have the same question. When I go through the What to Pack document, under the miscellaneous, you talk about a Spanish adapter for charging cell phones. Is the Spanish adapter different than the rest of the European ones? Like, is there a special one for Spain? Or if you have the EU adapter, that's fine.
It is a different one for Spain because, I'm pretty sure I know it's different in the UK, and I know it's different in Germany. So you do have to look at you have to get a Spanish one. We can probably just find one or a picture of one on the internet and share it, or I can send a picture of mine.
You can also get adapters that have multiple plugs, so
yeah.
You should be able
right, the
to,
universal
yeah.
ones, yeah.
Yeah.
Hi,
yeah.
Maura.
Hey.
and actually, the properties that we're staying at, too, are high-end enough that they will have them at the desk if someone has forgotten one. And, you know, we'll make sure, Allison and I always have a couple of extras on us, too, just in case. So it was a good question.
Yeah. Okay, no. I just wanted to find out. I think I probably do have one. I have one of those, you know, packages that have, you know, a number of different adapters. But just to, if anybody's going out to buy it, if there's a difference between the Spanish and the standard European one, that we do buy the right one or we do bring the right one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And you don't have to change the electrical charge. You don't have to have the adapter for your cell phone anyway that changes the electrical charge. It's just the adapter. So it's a basic adapter. It's like, I don't know, $12 or $15. The one that changes the charge is about $35. So you'll know if you're spending more that you're getting the one that's actually, transferring the voltage. The only time you need to transfer the voltage is with a blow dryer or a curling iron.
But there's blow dryers in all of our properties.
Yes.
Yeah.
That are already adapted to the power. They're not curling irons, though. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to use a curling iron, you have to have the adapter that will change the voltage or it won't work. Okay?
Okay. All right, everybody. So we'll meet up again at the next call.
Monday, April 8th.
Okay.
Yay. Thank you, everyone.
Perfect.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
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 Bye.